Great to have you with us on WPR News. Larry Mueller here. We're starting the show today by talking with you about the Royal Thai Pavilion. It's located at the Obrick Botanical Gardens in Madison, and it was gifted to the UW by the Thai government and the Thai chapter of the Wisconsin Alumni Association. I think it was back in 2001. And since then, the structure, it suffered a bit over the years from our winters, mostly, I think. But last year, a three-year restoration project was completed, and the pavilion stands as beautiful as it was when it first arrived to Madison. We'll talk about it today with a couple of people. Kimberly Santiago, one of them, Communications and Advancement Coordinator for UW-Madison's Department of Ag and Applied Economics in the College of Ag and Life Sciences. She's Director of International Alumni Relations for the Wisconsin Alumni Association. When the pavilion first came to Madison, Kimberly, welcome. Thanks for joining in today.
Thank you very much, Larry.
Great to see you. Also, great to see Stacy Keller with us. Stacy is a senior architect with Madison-based Insight Consulting Architects. She also serves as Secretary of the Board of Directors of the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation, which recently recognized the pavilion's restoration project. And Stacy, it's great to see you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Larry. Very grateful to be here.
As we talk with our guests, I hope you'll join in. What questions do you have about the Royal Thai Pavilion? Have you visited it? I've visited it many times over the years. What did you think? I really like it a lot. What about you? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or email us to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Kimberly, let's start with you. The Thai government and the Thai chapter of the Wisconsin Alumni Association gifted the Royal Thai Pavilion to UW-Madison. Why was that gift made?
You know, the gift really signifies the gratitude of the Thai alumni for the time that they spent here at the university, also within the city of Madison and the state of Wisconsin. There's a long history of Thai students coming here to UW-Madison. That history sort of was, I guess I would say, cemented during Donna Shalala's time as chancellor. And she spent a lot of time really looking beyond the university to, you know, how the university played a role internationally. And during her tenure, she started engaging with our international alumni. And there were a number of delegations that went to Thailand, to Taiwan, to Korea. Part of that was, again, with her forward thinking, looking ahead to the sesquicentennial, the 150th anniversary of the university. So during these visits where they went abroad, they were so incredibly received by the alumni. They really hadn't, tapped into that goodwill. And so over the years, there was increasing engagement with Thailand. The gift of the Thai pavilion that sort of came in the year 2000, that the proposal of the gift was by a group of alumni that identified themselves as the Thai Badger Mafia. And they were a group of alums that were here in the 70s and were very active on campus, but also very active nationally. And when they went back to Thailand, they became very successful within the country. And they really felt that a big part of their success was due to their time here at the university.
What's the significance of the pavilion itself? I mean, there are those pavilions in Thailand. Mm-hmm. What do they signify?
You know, when the gift came or was proposed, there were a lot of discussions about the, whether this was a religious symbol or there was concern about that. But the pavilions, you'll see them all over the country.
Yeah.
And they really are a place for community to gather, for people to take a rest, just to enjoy themselves. And I think that's maybe, you know, for us here in Madison, that sense of community is something that's very special about this city.
Yes.
So the fact that the pavilion itself really is a symbol of community, I think, is makes it even that much more special for us.
You know, and it's such a beautiful setting at the Olbrich Botanical Gardens. But I'm wondering, well, I think I know the backstory, but maybe you could explain why didn't it, since it was a UW-Madison kind of gift,
mm-hmm.
why didn't it land on the Madison campus?
There are a lot of backstories to the pavilion. But in particular, when this pavilion was first proposed, it actually was after Donna Shalala, David Ward became chancellor, and yeah. he continued to build international relations abroad. And in 2000, the Wisconsin Alumni Association hosted Asia 2000, the first international alumni conference that was in Thailand. And at the end of that conference, that's when the Thai alumni proposed this gift. And they had drawings of that. And there are blueprints. I think they're still around. It was a very modest building. It was about 3 meters by 3 meters.
Mm-hmm.
And the university was very grateful for that proposal and accepted the gift. And then there was the discussion about where to put this, the pavilion, the three-meter by three-meter pavilion. And there were meetings with the chancellor's office and campus community facilities. And they decided that it was going to go down by the old surf
mm-hmm.
On the west side of campus. And there are Indian mounds there. So they also had discussions with the population here about siting it there. And they gave their approval and blessing. And the Thais actually really, that was also for them significant. They really, I think, respect the history of the indigenous population here. So anyway, the decision was to put it there, down by the surf. And myself and a former faculty member, Michael Hinden, went back to Bangkok to finally seal the deal and sign off on it. And the Thais asked us, well, would you like to see it? And we said, sure. Oh, it's already built? They said, oh, yeah, it's already built. We'll go out and see it. And so they took us out, and we saw the building that you see at Olbrich Gardens, which is not 3 meters by 3 meters.
40 feet long?
Yes. It's about 14 meters by, I think we said, 8 meters. And so we had to come back and say, you know, Houston, we have a problem. And so there was a discussion about putting it somewhere other than on campus, because campus really wasn't prepared to be able to protect it and have an appropriate setting.
But the Olbrich setting, that was masterful.
Yes, yes. That was really I think that really shows the cooperation between the campus and the city and parks.
Yeah.
And Olbrich itself, Olbrich Society.
And so you saw the building erected.
Yes.
But then it had to come apart.
That's right.
What was that? I mean, just explain that. And then
yes.
I promise, Stacey, I'll get to you here.
This is the most important part. Please.
Well, in fact, that building was built 3 times before, built and deconstructed before it came over here. And it's, you know, it is done in a traditional way, so there's very little hardware that's used in the construction. Once it was decided that it would be placed at Olbrich, and that was in place, then we had to figure out how to get it shipped over here, and then also for the artisans to come over and construct it, because it's, you know, a traditional building.
No tenpenny nails in that building.
That's correct. That's correct. So it, they deconstructed it, and they were in the process of shipping it over, and we had to get the visas for the artisans, and that became another glitch in the whole process of getting getting the pavilion over here. But eventually it was shipped over. It arrived on the West Coast, and it was held up there for certain reasons, and eventually trucked over here to Madison.
And then put back together again by those same artisans?
That's correct. Yep. It's sort of, there's a backstory to everything. It was sort of a comedy of errors, but it all came together in the end.
I remember talking about it at the time that it was finally constructed. And Stacy, here we are, 20 years go by. Mm-hmm. Now, this is a building that was erected in and made for Thailand weather.
That's right. So a lot of the materials, especially the clay bodies of the terracotta roof tiles, were all made of Thailand clay. And that tropical climate, if you can imagine, those materials did not fare as well in our Wisconsin climate of freeze-thaw.
Maybe you could describe what it looks like, the building itself.
So the building's an open-air structure. It's on several pillars and then has been decoratively painted with gold leaf and decorative painting styles from Thailand. And then on top, it has a series of the clay tiles are all painted with a gold glaze. And then it has metal flashings that cover all of the edges in a very careful fashion. And then at each of the end gable ends, there are mosaic tiles.
Yeah. What was it like when you first walked into the structure? When it was constructed here on campus?
At Olbrich?
Yeah.
You know, the structure itself is jaw-dropping. It really is incredibly beautiful, and nothing that you're going to see anywhere else. It's the only one of its kind here in North America, and it is, it's stunningly beautiful. And I think one thing also, when you look at the building, so there's the beauty of it, but there's the whole beauty of the idea behind it. And then there's also, as I said, you know, there's this comedy of errors that happened with it. But it was, construction on that building was supposed to start on September 10th, and 2000.
Yeah.
And the artisans missed their plane. They were delayed. Mm-hmm. So they actually arrived on September 11th.
Yeah.
So it... you know, it has that additional symbolism. When Stacy was talking about the tiles, at the time, that was a very difficult time here in the United States. So we organized an event for the community to come and sign the tiles. So every tile on that roof, people came and wrote their good wishes or, things... hope, that type of thing. And we then did that process again for the new building during the renovation.
Let's talk some more about the renovation, Stacy. Your company is, of course, Insight Consulting Architects. You evaluated the structure. What was it the tile that needed the most help, or what was going on?
Right. So in 2021, Insight Consulting Architects was hired by the city to come take a look at it and evaluate what the challenges were for the building. The metal flashings were probably the most apparent thing in that they were a little thinner than we would use here in the Midwest and long spans. And so some of them had been flapping. But it's interesting that if you see some of the pictures that have been on the website forever, they had all these, errors or, misgivings that were happening to the building. And you still didn't notice those things, but the up-close survey that we did, the evaluations really started to find that the clay tiles from the inside of the tiles were starting to pop loose. So there were a couple holes on the backside that we were finding, and that was what brought us in to start looking at it. We started noticing some of the wood failures on kind of the end caps because they were taking in moisture. And then the other kind of interesting thing we started finding was that on the inside in the ceilings, there were paint failures happening. And then, again, through the process with the scaffolding being up close, we started noticing that the mosaic tiles were starting to fail. And although it looked fine and was, you know, somewhat gleaming still, you could see the missing tiles that were happening. So it was really those fine up-close observations that started to bring us into the knowledge that there was a little more going wrong with the structure than we had initially, you know, ever anticipated.
Talking today with Stacy Keller, Senior Architect for Madison-based Insight Consulting Architects, and with Kimberly Santiago, Communication and Advancement Coordinator for UW-Madison's Department of Ag and Life and Applied Economics in the College of Ag and Life Sciences. But she previously served as Director of International Alumni Relations for the Wisconsin Alumni Association. Talking with them about the Thai Pavilion, we've gone a little bit through the history of the pavilion, and we're going to talk some more about it and what's happened over the last couple of years to renovate and restore it. And I hope you'll join in. Have you visited the Thai Pavilion? What'd you think? Questions about it? Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or you could email us, the email address, talk@WPR.org. That's talk@WPR.org. I'm Larry Mailer for WPR News. Great to have you along today on WPR News. Talking today with Kimberly Santiago and Stacy Keller. They have a lot of knowledge and have done a lot of work relating to the Thai Pavilion, which is located at Olbrich Botanical Gardens on Madison's west side. You're not going to find one anywhere else in the U.S., I don't believe. In fact, I'm sure of it. And if you haven't seen it, you should definitely visit, especially now since it's undergone its restoration. We're talking about the restoration with Stacy and Kimberly. And again, I hope you'll join in. Questions or comments, give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234, or you could email us the email address talk@WPR.org. That gold leaf was the gold. When I think gold leaf, is it gold paint? Gold. Talk about that.
It is sheets of actual gold that are hammered into these very fine sheets. They apply a resinous material to the wood and then actually just tap it all into place so it adheres to the structure, and it's a very tedious process. That if people saw the news, there was a lot of images of the artisans that actually do this, and they have the most patience to just do it yeah. one step at a time, and it's beautiful work.
Yeah, it's a lot more patience than I have. Well, the restoration started in 2021. Who did the work on that?
So Insight Consulting Architects began the process of evaluations, as well as determining the process for, I'll just say, providing the hidden techniques for the construction documents that we could bid out for the city. And then Kalam was the winning construction company that was who performed the work.
And I'm wondering, I'm sure there were some traditional building methods applied during the restoration, but talk about those.
Sure. So at Insight Consulting Architects, we specialize in historic preservation as well as these traditional building techniques. And we are very familiar with the artisans, the manufacturers, the suppliers of all these types of materials in order to do that. So our group really did a lot of deep research in finding out the right clay tile bodies that they should use, how to make it matching, We work very closely with Kalam on how to bend the metals and make shorter spans so things could expand and contract a little more. We worked with Kalam as well on those decorative painting processes, as well as some of those gold leaf techniques. And then Kalam also brought in a gentleman named Josh Weiner from the East Coast, and he actually had trained in Thailand to help on the mosaic tile replacement. So it was a great collaboration of artisans, suppliers. Steve even went to Germany. There's another pavilion in Germany that we started to work with those people on how to provide the access to things and some of the techniques. So there was a lot of research involved on our part to provide those great restoration pieces.
There was also consulting with the original artisans as well, and the Ministry of Fine Arts. So there was additional collaboration with on the Thai side with some of the alumni who had been involved, and also with the artisans themselves.
Yeah, and yeah. Kim was that great conduit to have for them. They were part of the stakeholder group, so we were really always collaborating on those decisions.
I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. The number to call is 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. We were having some technical difficulties in a way with our phone situation, but they seem to be resolved now, and we have a number of people who would like to visit with you. And if you don't get in, you can also email us. The email address, talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. Charles in Oshkosh, we'll give you a chance to join in. Hi, Charles.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm interested in historic preservation, and I understand there's tax credits in state and federal tax credits for preserving historic properties. This, I guess, is a historic property, but there weren't tax credits, I assume, in the city-owned. But what would a private, what type of programs are there for private homeowners or commercial building owners that want to preserve?
Yeah, Stacy?
So, yeah, this project did not qualify for a lot of those things.
Sure.
Working through the process, you do have to have a registered property to qualify for those things. But there are programs out there. Just reach out to the Historical Society. They have 20% tax credits through the state, and then there's also federal tax credits for historic properties.
So the Wisconsin Historical Society, you're saying, is a great starting point for this?
Yeah, their website will give you all the links to all those things, but it goes towards those construction projects for windows, roofs, things that are attached to the building. It'll help offset some of those costs and investments, even restoring historic windows.
Yeah, which could be an expensive little proposition for certain. So
yes.
There you go. Thank you, Charles, very much for calling. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. Stacy, you nominated the project for the Restoration Award. The pavilion actually won.
Right. So I do sit on the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation Board, but that only gave me privy to when the dates of submission were. I am not part of, just to be really clear, not part of the selection committee or the selection of the selection members for this. I'm, you know, just
to be
there
to, make that
to
point.
Support it. But yeah, the Historic Trust or Madison Trust for Historic Preservation, they advocate for preservation in the greater Madison area. And so we were very proud to be considered for this award. This project runs a fine line of whether it's historic, but it's certainly a landmark structure in Madison, as well as using all those traditional building techniques that aren't on modern projects. So we're very grateful to the Trust for recognizing the diligent work that we all participated on for this project.
Let's take a call from Mary Ann, who's en route to La Crosse on the phone and in the car, probably. Mary Ann, hi.
Okay, I'll call back. Hello?
All right, Marianne, are you there?
Yes. I am going to call back in a couple minutes when I have a better signal.
Oh, you sound pretty good right now.
Am I? Okay. All right, I'll talk. I was at the pavilion yesterday, and the restoration was immaculate. It was absolutely beautiful. The reflecting pool, all the gold. It was just a glorious. I stayed in the building, and then I just stayed by the reflecting pool a while. And I wanted to also say that my very first time there was with a Thai friend of mine who was studying here for his MBA. And when he graduated, he wanted me to see that structure. And he was so proud of it. It was emotional. He just said, you know, have you seen the Thai structure? And I had not. So he wanted to share that. And he had a lot of pride for what they have given us. And it's beautiful.
Oh, thank you, Marianne, for calling. Comment, Kimberly?
You know, thank you very much, Marianne, for sharing that story. I don't know when that student was here, but, you know, the Thais themselves, the students, the alumni, and the Thai community, there's a part of their heart is within that structure. When, again, going back to the tiles, for the original structure, when the tiles were placed on the roof, we invited the Thai students here on campus and the members of the community to come and help actually put the tiles on. So there was, you know, like a bucket line.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone could have a hand on that tile as they went up onto the roof. So there's, you know, there's a part of our community and our alumni embedded also into that structure.
Yeah, that's a wonderful story. Stacey?
Remember, for this restoration process, we went through the same thing. And
yep.
We had over 1,400 tiles
signed
on the backside. So again, you'll never see them until the you know, the timed capsule structure of it, right, as
mm-hmm.
well.
Marianne, thank you again. Appreciate your call. Deborah in Middleton, we'll go to you next. Hi, Deborah.
Hello. I'm wondering, since they had to do the remediation because the materials weren't up to snuff for Wisconsin winter and climate, while they were doing the restoration, did they use materials that would be more accommodating to our climate here so that they don't have to redo it again in another 20 years?
You're right. We did. We did have to, because of the challenges that were happening and could continue to fail, we replaced 100% of those clay tiles with a northern body clay. But we were able to replicate the body color to be the golden color as well as the glazes to match identically. So you won't ever really know that it's really a change. We also put in some weather barriers underneath the tiles in order to prevent that wind-driven snow from getting into the attics and causing those additional paint failures that we were kind of surprised to see.
What happened to the clay tiles that then were, I mean, they were not usable anymore, but was there anything done with any of the clay tiles that were taken off?
The Olbrich has kept some of them. And they are going to create an exhibit of some of the tiles. There's, you know, there are plans right now. So in 2027, we'll celebrate 25 years of the pavilion, and Olbrich will be celebrating 75 years of the garden. So there are plans in place for some type of exhibit, but I think that's still in process right now.
Yeah, but I'm glad.
Yes.
I'm glad some of those were saved.
All of those tiles were taken off by hand individually, and then when they found the signatures on the back, crated for saving of this use. So it was very careful attention deconstructing and reconstructing the project.
Susie in Manitowoc, we go to you now. Hi, Susie.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I had a comment. I have a comment and just a thank you for having these really, really interesting women on as guests. My comment is we live in Manitowoc, but when our boys were in college, we visited the Obrecht Gardens often. And she's right, Stacy is right. It is awesomely beautiful if you've never seen it before. And we have pictures of our five-month-old grandson being held up and by his dad, and pictures taken of the pavilion with the two of them in it. So thank you for the information. Never knew all of that background of it. It's really interesting. And we got to get back down there and see the restoration, because we haven't been there since they graduated.
Susie, thank you very much for calling. Comment, Stacy?
Well, I'd just say I wanted to make sure that everyone knew that the Thai Festival is going to be taking place September 14th. It's in conjunction with the Thai Consulate and Obrecht Gardens and City of Madison Parks and UW. So the kind of grand reopening of it with all the gardens in place will be taking place. And there'll be music and dancing and
food,
crafts and food.
Yep.
And so, that's, again, September?
September 14th.
Sunday,
September 14th.
Yeah, from 11 to 4.
But in the meantime, if you're in town now.
Anytime is a good time.
Stop by anytime.
Yes, anytime is a good time.
It's, maybe we could talk for just a minute about, the building just isn't sitting there all by its lonesome.
No, it's not.
Talk about what one sees in addition to, I mean, it's the setting and the way things are created around it really adds, to my mind, adds so much to the experience.
Yeah, there was a lot of thought put into setting the pavilion at Olbrich Gardens. So when you approach it, and it's, when you approach the pavilion, first you're going to cross a bridge. And if you look at the bridge structure even, there's a lot of thought that was put into the style, the design of the bridge. And as you come up to approach the bridge, that's the beginning, if you look at the ground, the beginning of the naga or the serpent. So it's actually a serpent design that will lead you to the pavilion. As you cross the bridge, you'll get a perfect, incredible view of the pavilion and the reflecting pool that's in front of it. So, one of the callers mentioned that. The reflecting pool is planted with lotus. And then actually surrounding the pavilion, you'll see a number of statuary. And some of those were sent originally with the pavilion. But then one in particular, there's an elephant there that was a gift from one of the princesses of the royal family who has visited Madison twice.
Isn't it? It's absolutely amazing. And somebody else is wondering, well, how long is it going to last before it needs more work?
So the new tiles we typically say are about 30 to 50 year tiles. That's what if we were putting in a new structure, that's what we would anticipate for its longevity. And those flashings we did in a different way in order to, again, a little more freeze thaw. And, you know, paint is always going to need maintenance, but we're working with them on a ongoing process. So,
what kind of paint do they use for that? I mean, it's
an enamel type of paint that's part of the reds and the blacks, and then again the gold leaf is on there. Some of the lower railing pieces we did put into like a gold resin paint, again, to kind of be more resistant to some of those finger prints that go through it. But again, all hopefully you'll never know that anything has changed.
Stacy, you might want to talk about the special way that you went to prevent birds actually from...
Well, yeah, so Kalam had a really interesting experience in working with all the birds that were on there. We put up nailers. One of the gentlemen, he was on the project the entire time, started making custom nails to try to prevent them, but they still somehow kept making bedding areas into all of this. And that was during the construction, of course. So we kept a lot of trial and error and ended up discovering that there's some baking soda laundry components, balls that you put in, and they don't like that smell. So we're hopeful that you, again, won't ever see them because they're kind of tucked in some of the corners, but we're hoping to prevent some of those birds from nesting on the pavilion and causing some of that paint damage again.
Well, I tell you what, it is a fantastic sight, fantastic place, and you guys deserve a lot of thanks for all of your work on this. So I appreciate very much you taking the time to be with us today.
It was a great collaboration, I think. Yeah. A lot of partners and a lot of thought, heart, and soul went into the project, and we encourage anyone to get out there and see it.
Well, 30 years from now, when it needs to be redone.
Again,
we'll have you back.
We wish you well.
Maybe we'll do it before that.
I'll still be working, so we'll just keep those maintenance projects, keeping it well. So thank you.
Kim, Stacy, thank you both so much. Kimberly Santiago, Communication and Advancement Coordinator at UW-Madison. She previously served as Director of International Alumni Relations for the Wisconsin Alumni Association when this was all first taking place. Stacy Keller, Senior Architect with Madison-based Insight Consulting Architects. She's also Secretary of the Board of Directors for the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation. Great fun talking with them, and I'll look forward to visiting with them down the road, 30 years from now for sure. But maybe sooner than that. You know, another guy who's been around a long time is Fred Risser. And Fred's written a new book about his time in service to Wisconsin. And we're going to talk with him next. Fred and Doug Moe, my old pal, next here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Stay with us.